Newsmakers is brought to you by the generosity of listeners like you, including Pam Adams and the Illyopian Oracles. I'm Gary Moore on today's program.
I think our eyes should not only be fixed on Gaza, but I think also equally, if not more so, on Haiti, given the devastation that's happening there with paramilitary forces, what the media is calling gangs, having occupied the airport and major parts of the city.
Legal expert David Chaplin looks at a story that's been flying under the radar, the crisis in Haiti, in addition to unpacking Donald Trump's latest legal challenges. Also,
in the past, every registered voter had an assigned polling place that they had to go to on election day. But now we have opened up all 55 polling places are now open and available to all registered voters. So if you see a vote here sign on your way to work or on your way to school, and that is more convenient for you than your assigned location, you can vote at that location on your way to work.
Peoria Election Commission Executive Director Elizabeth Gannon gets us ready for the primary election on Tuesday. But first, WPNV contributor and legal expert David Chaplin on all things Trump. First, Fonnie Willis will stay on as the district attorney in the Fulton County election fraud case against the former president. Let's start by talking about Fonnie Willis. She will stay on the case. What do you think about the judge's decision to give her this ultimatum, really, either herself or the special prosecutor had to step away?
I think it was the only correct decision to make. From an optics standpoint, I think the law was on her side. You couldn't remove her from the case. There was nothing she did to legally encumber her capacity, right? I think the outcome is still, I would say, kind of silly, because you're effectively saying you can remove yourself because we don't have the legal right to remove you, right? Is a bit frustrating from a legal standpoint. Judges sometimes like to split the baby and come down in the middle, and this is one of those instances where they play the safe and kind of push the cart. Ultimately, I think it is a fair outcome, although I would like them to have said, you know, there's just nothing to see here, right, from a legal aspect. But the decision is what it is, and they can hopefully they appeal, but obviously that'll all delay everything, and she's pressed with the outcome of delaying the overall proceedings in the Trump case, or appealing and removing herself and moving forward. So neither of which are good options, but because she appointed a special prosecutor, she could theoretically step down, and it doesn't really impact the case because she's not directly prosecuting the case. The special prosecutor is. But I my understanding is the special prosecutor is part of a team. So that one person, I don't know what impact that will have on the case, that one person on the, I think, is a four-member team that's part of the special prosecutor's office. So
Trump sort of wins because this was a sideshow,
yeah.
And it took up 64 days from the challenge in January up to now, where the judge has decided that either one of them could stay on. And so that plays into the Trump delay tactic, because now these 64 days could have been spent prosecuting the case.
Yeah, and you know, Trump, I think, knows what the outcome of this case is going to be. And so the only game he can play, which is the game he likes to play, which is the game of public opinion and delay, stall, appeal. And so, you know, he's exhausting all his respective remedies. Obviously, she didn't do him any favors by having the affair in the first place. That was not a good judgment call. But ultimately, it shouldn't have any bearing on the case other than obviously delaying the case with the election approaching. And we're already going to run up against whether or not the outcome, the ultimate outcome, appeal or no appeal, could have been had before the election. Now, you know, with 2 months lost, it's likely not going to matter too much in terms of impacting the election.
What do you think about the case itself? I talked to legal expert Raymond Pierce a week or so ago, and he was saying the case itself is still pretty strong. This is the RICO case in Fulton County, where Trump and 18 other defendants are charged with racketeering and trying to interfere with the election, and several of those people have already pleaded guilty.
Yeah, and I'm sure they got some people to corroborate. I think the case is strong. Like I said, it doesn't change the merits of the case or the likely outcome of the case. I think the facts and evidence they have that I've already seen, you know, from videos of people going in to both phone calls that we've all heard of him, you know, pressuring the election commissioner. So those things are clear, but, you know, the court aspect has to play out.
Yeah. Let's switch gears and go to Florida and talk about that case where the Trump-appointed judge has pretty much delayed that case until, some would argue, after the election, denying him this motion to have that case thrown out. This is the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago case.
Right.
He wanted to have that case thrown out. The judge did deny that, but said, hey, he could bring that question up when it comes to jury instructions. And court observers are saying that that pretty much assures that this case won't be prosecuted until after the election. And I want to see what you think about this, that the judge in the case may be auditioning for a Supreme Court job if Trump gets elected.
I mean, honestly, this is all just extremely, extremely frustrating. We thought we were better as a country. We thought our laws were stronger. We thought our judges were judges of ethics and morals. But, you know, these are humans. As we learned with Congress, and humans make self-centered decisions. Unfortunately, Trump is a master manipulator, and to the extent he's playing his cards to benefit himself, it's consistent par of course in terms of how he operates. I think this judge is doing everything the judge can ultimately to lessen any negative impact her court would be required to uphold against Trump. And we've seen that play out time and time again with this case.
You, before we were recording, were kind of joking with me about Trump's popularity among black voters. And the whole idea of blacks for Trump is a curious one. Charles Barkley recently said any black person who was wearing a Trump t-shirt was a freaking idiot, and said he would punch him in the face if he saw one. He later walked those comments back. What do you think about Trump's popularity among black voters? There had been this picture that was circulating on social media that appeared to be doctored, where people had two hands and was Photoshopped, so he wasn't really surrounded by black voters.
Yeah, when I saw that, my God, I'm like, this should be front page headlines, international scandal that a presidential candidate and a former president would do something. He's the author of fake news, and so clearly he's not only the author but also the curator, right, of deep fakes. And this one was obvious, it was caught quickly, but at the same time, I think the imagery, the perception always runs and burns faster than the callback, right, or the retraction, which will never come. But ultimately to the question of black sentiment among for Trump, I think it's largely, to the extent it's growing, juxtaposed negative feelings toward Biden, not anything to do with Trump. I think the context now versus the first Trump election is you're comparing it to what Biden hasn't done or hasn't done enough of in his 4 years. And the optics of an aging Biden versus the optics of what appears to be a more spry Trump, even though they're very close in age. So I think the how much worse could it be element is playing into Trump's favor when Trump can make arguments that are false regarding what he did during his presidency for black people. It isn't fact checked. whereas, you know, the person in office gets more scrutiny than the person not in office. So I just hope ultimately Trump doesn't win, because that would be a catastrophe and he may never leave office. So
yeah, much has been said about that. But let's stay on the subject of black voters. There had been a poll a few months ago among young black voters who were disappointed in President Biden's handling of the Israel-Hamas war. It's a complicated issue. We've heard Biden and other Democrats come out very strongly publicly lately. The Vice President Kamala Harris, Senator Chuck Schumer, Biden himself, talking about how Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, needs to change his war strategy and this indiscriminate bombing of Gaza, where these thousands of Palestinians, I don't know what the number is, last I heard was something like 27,000, upwards of 27,000 casualties, people dead, women, children. You've been to the Middle East. What more can the Biden administration say in its condemnation of Israel that would let Americans who are sympathetic to the plight of the Palestinians know that the administration is doing all it can? Or do you think the fact that the United States sends money to Israel just cancels whatever rhetoric comes out of the White House?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything the White House can say. I think right now they're calling for a temporary ceasefire. I think a permanent ceasefire is what the people would want. I think calling for even a temporary ceasefire is too late after 30 plus dead, conservative number, and over 70,000 injured. So I think ultimately a permanent ceasefire, and the reality of dropping aid after 30,000 are dead, and our number one ally is the reason why aid can't be brought in on the ground, is an optics challenge. And the fact that Biden gets publicly whipped to a degree by Netanyahu regarding these quote unquote red lines for an armed invasion in Rafah, and Netanyahu saying he's going into Rafah, whether Biden likes it or not, and Biden saying we're going to arm Israel regardless of whether or not they go into Rafah, right? So I think what needs to happen is not saying anything more, but stopping certain aid support. I would say when it comes to the Security Council, not vetoing, upholding, or abstaining the international body from doing what it's called to do. I think we're using our international power as a world leader in a way that's not going to be well received in the eyes of history.
Hmm. And that won't be the first time. I mean, you and I have talked extensively about U.S. foreign policy. I thought it was ironic, shifting gears a little bit, that this past week the U.S. Marines were deployed to Haiti to help with security there. As you know, Haiti is in turmoil. The president of Haiti has resigned, the prime minister. You have government militias fighting with gangs vying for power. Tens of thousands of people have been displaced. That country is in turmoil, but anyone who knows their history knows that the U.S. Marines occupied Haiti at the turn of the century. And it was not for security purposes, as it was to help with the exploitation of that country's resources. You know, Haiti dared to become independent of colonial rule. You know, the Africans in history going down as one of the few places where the black people won and fought off the European powers and declared their independence. Unfortunately for them, it was in 1804, and the world is surrounded by slavery. What are your thoughts in terms of Haiti? Because as you and I talked years ago, this is a country that we, as African Americans, should not lose sight of.
Absolutely. I think our eyes should not only be fixed on Gaza, but I think also equally, if not more so, on Haiti, given the devastation that's happening there with paramilitary forces, what the media is calling gangs, having occupied the airport and major parts of the city. But, you know, the challenge is, you know, we can't have external, quote-unquote, agencies or government bodies deciding what Haiti's future looks like, right? The current prime minister, who recently resigned, was unelected. He was selected by, you know, the West, ultimately, to be in his position. And so I think the fact that we participated in what some may call or some call a coup of the former prime minister and calling for that person's resignation and saying they couldn't return to the Western Hemisphere, right? I think that, you know, some of this is on our hands. Our foreign policy towards Haiti has created a lot of turmoil that it's currently experiencing. And ultimately, Haiti and you know, the leaders in that country are saying to the West, we will not participate in your kangaroo elected official selection process, right? We want to, and we earn the right as independent agencies to determine who our leader will be. And I think, I believe the barbecue was the name of, you know, the paramilitary leader in Haiti who's quote unquote calling shots, so to speak. And he's made it clear that, you know, he's prepared to
die
a lot of evil and die in the name of protecting what he considers the sovereignty of Haiti.
Yeah, and unfortunately, our time is up and we have to bring this conversation to a close. But it's really kind of full circle, because as Haiti goes, so goes the United States in terms of defending sovereignty and democracy. Here we are back to this subject of democracy and what that means and people choosing their own leaders. You know, I was in Haiti when John Bertrand Aristide, the first democratically elected president, was the subject of a coup, the United States under the Bush administration kicking him out, and Haiti eventually going into turmoil. So, yeah, democracy is important in this hemisphere, and it's going to play itself out in this election year, 2024. David Chaplin, legal expert, WPNV contributor. Hey, thanks for being on Newsmakers.
Thank you. Thank you. And shout out to all the people in Peoria. Shout out to you. Thank you again for having me. It's a blessing.
Now to my conversation with Peoria Election Commission Executive Director Elizabeth Gannon. There's a primary election coming up on Tuesday. And you encourage people to vote, right?
Of course, yes. We want all of our registered voters in Peoria County to show up and cast their ballot.
And when we talk about precincts, there have been some that have changed recently, notably a couple on the south side.
Yes, we had a polling place that was at Sovereign Grace Church. We moved it to Roosevelt School during the summer, and then we realized we had an ADA compliant survey completed, and that school is not ADA compliant. So in order to ensure that all of our 55 polling places are accessible to all of our voters, we found another location. So the new location is the Ward Chapel AME Church at 511 North Richard Allen Drive.
Okay, and that's precinct what?
Six.
Precinct 6. So voters in Precinct 6, if you're listening or you know someone who lives in the south end of Peoria, instead of Sovereign Grace, the new location is now War Chapel.
That is correct, yes.
Let's back up a little bit and talk to me about voter turnout. I mentioned that you encourage people to get out to vote. We encourage people to get out to vote. Regardless of what party or candidate they vote for, we are committed to faith in the electoral process. You want people to take part in this democracy. Expound on that for me. Tell me why it's important for people to exercise their right to vote.
Sure. I mean, that's the foundation of our nation, right? It's built on the back of democratic principles, which says that all citizens of the United States have the right to register and cast their ballot to elect the people that represent them in Congress at their local level, at the state level. So, you know, if you don't vote, what they say, you can't complain, right?
Mm-hmm. Tell me who's on the ballot besides the presidential candidates.
So we've got the presidential candidate is at the top. But remember, in Illinois, when you actually vote for the president of the United States, it's actually just a popularity contest. You are actually casting your vote for the delegates So that's who's really representing your vote. So make sure that you're casting the delegate votes as well. We have representative races, legislative races, and then at the local level, we've got the state's attorney race. We have the coroner, and then we have all the precinct committee people as well, along with all of the even districts for county board.
Now, are those primary ballots along party lines? Do people have to pick a party-specific ballot?
That's a great question. So, yes, in primary elections, you have to declare which party ballot you would like to vote. And in Peoria County, we have two established political parties. So you can select either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. And you do not register by party in Illinois. So it's important to remember that from primary election to primary election, you can switch what party you want. So you can do research into the candidates, see who aligns best with your beliefs, and then pull that party ballot to support those candidates.
And are there people who are running unopposed who, I guess you could say, they would pretty much win their race unless they were challenged by a write-in candidate? There are some people who are running unopposed, and then their name would appear again in November, or how does that work?
So for the primary election, you're nominating from that party who you want to represent that party in the general election to face off against them both, right? We compare it to football, right? So you've got the playoffs, which is what the primaries represent, and then whoever wins the playoffs goes to the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl is the general election. So that's kind of how we try to explain it. But there are a lot of uncontested races on the ballot, especially on the Democratic side. There is a race for the 37th legislative district on the Republican ballot. That's a Senate seat. There's a race there, and then there's also a race for the 53rd legislative district, which is also a Senate seat on the Republican side. There's not a lot for people to vote for, unfortunately.
Okay. I know there had been some discussion, a legal challenge to former President Trump being on the ballot. We know the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that he could be on the ballot in Colorado, Illinois, and another state, my memory doesn't serve me well, had taken him off the ballot. So Trump's name is on the ballot in Illinois, right?
Correct. That Supreme Court ruling applied to Illinois as well. They honored that. He will be on the ballot in Illinois, yeah.
Okay. And with regard to write-in candidates and voting early, and voting on the day of if you're not registered. Talk to me about that. It's pretty easy to vote in the state of Illinois, right?
It is, yes. We allow same-day registration, and we allow three different ways that you can cast your ballot. So if you are not registered to vote in Peoria County, or if you have changed your address within the county, you can register and vote at the same time. And you can do that at any of our early voting locations or at any of our polling places on election day. You simply need two forms of identification. One of those has to show your current name and address.
Now, if I don't know where my precinct is and it's election day, can I go out to the election commission and vote?
You sure can, yes. We have a vote center set up in our office. But I think it's important to know now, this is our first election, that we are implementing a vote anywhere concept. So if you don't know where your polling place is, but you see a vote here sign, just pull on in and you can cast your ballot there.
I think you need to say that one again.
So yes, we are implementing a vote anywhere concept in Peoria County. So what that means is in the past, every registered voter had an assigned polling place that they had to go to on election day. But now we have opened up all 55 polling places are now open and available to all registered voters. So if you see a vote here sign on your way to work or on your way to school, and that is more convenient for you than your assigned location, you can vote at that location on your way to work.
Is that a permanent change or are you just trying that out?
No, it is a permanent change. We hope to keep this implemented going forward, yes.
Okay, well, that is cool. Because, you know, Elizabeth, this is counter to some of the areas in our country where there have been restrictions on voters, quite the opposite in terms of restricting the hours, restricting locations, restrictions on mail-in balloting. So you know you are atypical of the trend that's going on.
Yeah, that's right. And in Illinois, we are really all about ballot access, and especially in Peoria County with implementing this Vote Anywhere system, it's really about ballot access for the voter and convenience, you know, and we're hoping that, you know, this encourages even more people to come out and cast their ballot.
Now, I know one negative thing that we had heard a year or so ago was eliminating the stamps on the mail-in ballots. Is that still in effect? You don't have stamps for the people to put on the ballots or no?
That is actually was overturned. The board overturned that decision, and so now Peoria County is paying return postage for all vote-by-mail ballots.
Yay! I'm glad to hear that.
Yay!
All right, last few questions. Talk about early voting.
Early voting is still going on. We are open today at actually four locations. We are at the Alpha Park Public Library in Bartonville. We are at the Dunlap Public Library. We are at the downtown Peoria Public Library, and we're also open at our office Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So if you'd like a full schedule of our early voting throughout the weekend, I would encourage you to visit our website at peoriaelections.gov.
Now, I got to throw some urban myths out there, and you got to, you know, clear these up. This is just what people say, but it's not necessarily true, and we need to dispel these over and over. People say, well, I don't really know about the early voting. I want my vote to count, so I'm going to vote on election day. If you mail it in early or vote early, we're not really sure that it's going to be counted. That's rubbish, right?
That is rubbish. You are correct. So no matter how you cast your ballot, whether you vote by mail, you vote early, or you vote on election day, it is the same process for one, verifying who you are, and two, tabulating those votes. So doesn't matter how you cast your ballot, it is going to be counted.
Last question, and this is the closest I'm going to come to any kind of political question, and that is, with the former president having challenged the results of the 2020 election, there is this cloud over the 2024 election. Unfortunately, many people in the country don't believe the results of the 2020 election and have doubts about the fairness and accuracy of elections, period, notwithstanding the fact that in some 60-plus court cases challenging the 2020 election, states all over the country, secretaries of states were upheld in their counting of the ballots. Election commissions, you know, at many local levels in Georgia and Michigan and Arizona, all over the place, were vindicated in that, hey, we had 99.9% accuracy in our election. Does it sadden you that there is this cloud of doubt?
I mean, this sounds like it would be a trick question, right? I mean, yes, it does. I mean, do I wish that people believed me when I said, we are following all of the laws and the procedures and we're counting all of your votes? And, you know, just, yes, of course it's disheartening. But at the same time, I think that, like you said, it's not 60, it's actually over 100 court cases that found no instances of voter fraud or tampering with the votes. But I think that it has made the process for elections nationwide more transparent. So I really do think that there are some positives that have come out of this 2020, questioning whether these results are valid or not. We have been much more transparent about the processes that we have in place, why we do the things we do, trying to explain how our equipment works, how our voter registration systems work. And people are asking questions, which is great. They are getting more involved. We have, we encourage any voter or a concerned citizen, really, that is questioning the legitimacy of an election to serve as an election judge. There is no better way to really get a behind-the-scenes look at what we are doing, why we do it, and how we do it.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for being on Newsmakers.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Newsmakers is brought to you by the generosity of listeners like you, including Pam Adams and the Illiopian Oracles. Newsmakers on WPNV. WPNV, we're Peoria's neighborhood voice.